Good morning, Christchurch, you all. I'm not sure if I'm appearing on the screen there, but I would like to talk to you about this story. And we're doing a series on the seven sentences in the Old Testament. And the main thing to say is that the verse we've chosen is, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Exodus 20, verse 2. And this, we need to understand, first of all, there was a promise that God made at the very beginning of Genesis. I need to give a bit of background to Exodus here. God created the world and the human beings for blessing. However, as you can see in the next picture, the world fell under a curse. Humanity was corrupted, cut off and separated from each other. And from God, there was death, violence, and confusion. So it raises a question. Is there any way back to God's blessing that God originally intended? Is there any way back to what God originally intended, that human beings should be a blessing? Now, we saw last week when Debbie spoke that God had a plan to restore the world. He chose Abraham and his descendants to be in a special covenant relationship with him, promising him a son, and through that son to be a special nation that would bless the whole world. It would be God's people in God's land under God's blessing, and they would bless the whole world. And Abraham believed God, despite the fact that his wife was hopelessly barren and very, very old. In fact, he was old too. And yet God began fulfilling his promises. But you see, as the book of Exodus begins, there's a real problem. God's promise to Abraham seems to be in question. You see, yes, he may have a family now, a large number of people, but they're slaves to the mightiest superpower that there was at that time, Egypt. And the mightiest king of that time, called Pharaoh, was not going to let them go, as we sung in that Louis Armstrong song. He was determined to keep them. So here's the problem. How could a group of slaves in the Egyptian underclass ever become a blessing to the whole world? Could God keep his promises? Now, God knew all about their situation, and I want to tell you this. God knows all about your situation too, and he values us as he valued them, and he brought them out. The overarching theme of Exodus is the fulfillment of God's promises to the patriarchs. Sorry, I'm trying to share my screen with you. I'm sorry that didn't work. Okay, I'm really sorry if you've missed most of that. I'll pass on to where I got to. I basically got to the part where the slaves were in Egypt. And this is where I've got to. I do apologize for the technological incompetence on my part. Right. The overarching theme of Exodus is the fulfillment that God kept his promise, as you can see in that box. He promised to make the descendants into a great nation. And this promise was kept by God despite the opposition from the greatest superpower in the ancient world. And despite the disobedience, the unbelief, the stubbornness of God's people. So I just want to encourage you that even though there was everything stacked up against God, the Egyptians, his stubbornness of his own people, God still came true. Isn't that a wonderful picture of God's power and the character of our God? I want to talk briefly about some themes in Exodus. And the first one is the theme of sacrifice. Now, during the Passover night, the Israelites The Israelites are threatened by death just as much as the Egyptians. Like everyone else, God's people are guilty and deserve the judgment of death. But they are saved by putting the blood of a lamb around a door. They are redeemed through this blood. And sacrifice of a lamb is obviously so key to the whole beginning of the nation. The door of the blood of the lamb is the way out. There is a doorway in this story, the doorway out from wrath and guilt. If you want to be free from guilt, you need to go to Jesus. He is the true lamb who brings out through the doorway of his blood the way out from guilt. Christians do not need to suffer the nagging guilt from their past, like a yapping dog. You know, have you ever seen a yapping dog barking at you? People have that in their heart, the yapping hounds of guilt. And through the blood of Jesus, there is a doorway out, away from guilt and away from wrath. And that is pictured by us in the sacrifice of the lamb, which the people of Israel had to put around the doorway. So sacrifice is a great theme in Exodus. Another theme is that of liberation. Now, we have a VE Day coming up on Friday, where we remember the liberation of Europe, when the Germans in World War II no longer could trouble Europe. Well, there was a liberation in the Exodus. You see, although the lamb's blood was very important, they also had to be set free from the power of Pharaoh's army. And this happened at the crossing of the Red Sea. And this liberation points to another doorway. You see, there's another doorway hidden in this story. And this is the doorway out from the pressure of pursuing enemies. You know that the enemy does try and pursue. And when someone is finally saved by the Lord and sealed by the Holy Spirit, they are then freed from the pursuit of the enemy. The enemy may lie to the person, but they are powerless to touch them. And I believe that the crossing of the Red Sea, the miraculous crossing of the Red Sea, is a picture of a doorway out from our enemy. And I believe the picture of the Red Sea, going through the Red Sea, is a picture of baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's when the Spirit of God seals the deal. Now, this sometimes happens all at once in the person's life, and other times it seems to happen in stages. But God seals the deal by the sealing of the Holy Spirit. And that crossing of the Red Sea is like the baptism of the Holy Spirit when the pursuing enemy has been disarmed. Of course, we can still be tempted. We can still fear. But the devil is like a lion with no teeth. He's like a lion on a chain. He'll only do what God allows him to do. And I love the story of the liberation of the crossing of the Red Sea. It's a picture of God's people being free. A Christian need not be tormented by the evil one. Another theme in the book is God's presence. People forget this one. It didn't just end at the crossing of the Red Sea, you know. It didn't just end with liberation from slavery. They weren't just liberated from slavery, they were liberated for God's presence. And so have you been too. God wants you to come into his presence. And here's the third doorway. God has opened a doorway into God's presence. Did you know that God came down and lived among the Israelites? He lived in a tent, like a chieftain among all the other tents. His presence became available. Okay, it was only available to the priests, but everyone saw it, the fire, as you can see there, on top of the tent. God's presence is available to his people. And this is a wonderful thing that we see in the book of Exodus. And I want to tell you that you can go into God's presence. You don't have to be like the Israelites with a big curtain in the way. You can enjoy God's presence. I want to ask you, do you enjoy God's presence? Let me tell you one other thing about that tent. It was covered with very thick fur skins. And if you ever did go in there, it would be very, very quiet. It would drown out all the noise. You wouldn't hear anything in there. And sometimes coming into God's presence, there's a place of silence, a place of coming in and enjoying God. And I want to tell you, God has set you free so you can enjoy him. And you don't have to always be talking either. You can enjoy him in the silence too. Another quick couple of themes. There's the theme of surrender. You know, they weren't just set free in order to then go and do what they liked. They became surrendered slaves to God. But of course, serving God is very different to serving Pharaoh. But that is what God wanted. Did you know that the word slavery can also be translated as the word worship? And God wanted his people to be surrendered worshippers of him. And I want to ask you the question, have you surrendered your life to the Lord? The Lord wants everything, you know, but he can be trusted. He doesn't just want us to surrender only a part. There's no good me giving you my car if I don't surrender to you the car keys. You've got to have the keys too. I don't know if you know the story of the Battle of Waterloo, when the Iron Duke, Duke Wellington, defeated Napoleon. Well, at the end of the battle, there are all these French generals, and the French generals said to the Iron Duke, they said, "Oh, you're an excellent general, Mr. Wellington." And Duke Wellington said, "Well, that's very nice of you to compliment me, but this is a surrender, gentlemen. Give me your sword." They had to give up their swords. So we are to surrender to the Lord. And finally, one other theme in Exodus is mission. God called them and saved them in order to be a light to the nations, so that they would reflect God's character. I'll talk more about that a bit later. So this is what I want to say to you. This isn't just an old dusty story from the past. It's our story. Jesus sets us free from slavery to sin. He is the Passover lamb who rescues us from judgment and death. He is God's presence in our lives, like that tent among the people, tabernacling amongst us. The book of Exodus is the key to understanding the person and liberating work of Jesus. Now, I want to encourage you. At least I hope I will. Some encouragements from the book of Exodus. Here we go. First one, God is our redeemer. A redeemer is someone who pays a ransom to get something back that already belongs to him or her. It's like if someone were to kidnap my children, they belong to me, but I would have to pay a price to get them back, those who already belong to me, because I value them. And this is exactly what God did in the Exodus. And don't you think it's amazing that the creator of the whole world, the creator of everything, redeems people? You know, God's name is Yahweh. Well, Yahweh, the Hebrew word for God, can be translated as the eternal, always God. He's always there. He's always our helper. He's always our protector. Always my healer, in this life or the next. But he's always your redeemer. You have to remember that. And he's very, very faithful. Vanessa read to us something that God promised he would do. You see, redemption is sometimes a promise that God, of God, will do something. Vanessa told us in Exodus 6 that God had heard their groaning and he promised to do something. He said, "I will bring them out. I will free you. I will redeem you." He says, "I will take you as my own people and I will bring you to the land I swore to Abraham." You see, he's a faithful promise keeper. And then we read in Exodus 20, or Vanessa read in Exodus 20, the verse that God had fulfilled his promise. He said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. I've done it." So if God ever speaks to you, he will do it, even if it takes a long, long time. And sometimes we have to be very patient. The Israelites had to wait 400 years for God to work this all out. But let me tell you this too, just to encourage you. That's my heart this morning. Even if technology didn't work very well at the start, God is a strong redeemer. You know, he was stronger than all the gods of Egypt put together. Did you know Pharaoh Pharaoh was considered to be a god. Well, God showed that he was stronger than Pharaoh. The Egyptians believed that the river Nile was protected by three gods, one of which they believed his blood flowed through the river. They believed the river Nile was like a bloodstream for one of the Egyptian gods. But you remember, God told Moses to change the river into blood. God is more powerful than all the enemies that he faces, whether they be false or true enemies. And one other quick thing. God is strong to provide as the Redeemer. Do you know what? When they got into the desert, some scholars estimate there may have been up to 2 million Israelites. Now, if you've got that number of people in a desert, how are you going to feed them all? I mean, some scholars think you would need 900 tons of food every day for 2 million people. You'd need 2,400 tons of firewood for 2 million people. You would need 2 million gallons of water for 2 million people. Well, how on earth can that happen? It's impossible. Whereas God, the great, powerful, strong Redeemer, supplied all their needs. And he decisively cut them off from Pharaoh's army at the Red Sea, which is what I said earlier about receiving God's Holy Spirit. Another little encouragement for you. He's the God of grace. Vanessa read to us the verse which said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And that verse comes before, please get this, before the Ten Commandments. So before any rules were given, before any regulations were given, grace, rescue, salvation. This happened before any rules were given. Remember this, rescue before rules. Liberation before legislation. God always does the first move. God will do the saving. Now, the law was given as an expression of gratitude to help them live as God wanted. It wasn't to earn any salvation. Let me show you this picture. Here's a picture of someone putting the cart before the horse. You know that saying, don't put the cart before the horse? Well, so many people think the Ten Commandments of God are something that we have to do in order to earn God's favor. No. God did the saving in the first place. The law came second. The first half of Exodus, chapters 1 to 18, is all about God's rescue, his redeeming. The second half of Exodus is more about the laws and the rules. And so many people think that the laws of God are negative, you know, they're sort of heavy and burdensome, but that's not how the original Israelites saw them. They saw them as a blessing. In fact, the psalmist says in Psalm 19 that your laws are sweeter than honey. Psalm 119, the psalmist says, through your laws, I will walk about with freedom. You see, the laws were given as a sign of gratitude to live as God wanted, but not to earn salvation. I just want to tell you that God's on your side. He's a God of grace. Last little picture on this section. There we've got a picture. I want to encourage you with this. There's a picture of supposedly Moses, age 80. Well, did you know that God used a couple of octogenarians? Moses was 80, Aaron was 83. Don't you ever say God can't use an older person. He can. I mean, in the political world, think of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan was age 70 when he became president, until the age of 78. Churchill was 66, and then 76 when he got reappointed after the war. I want to encourage you. God seems to have a disregard for the alleged vigor of youth. If God speaks to you, he will use you. Doesn't matter how old you are. The Bible does speak about retirement, by the way. But do you know what the retirement is? It's heaven. You can retire when you get to heaven. You can rest all you like there. But God has plans for you. And I want to encourage you older folk that God can use you. Look at you called Moses and Aaron, a couple of octogenarians. And if you look at the picture below my little screen there, Moses is praying, and I want to encourage you with this too. Prayer really works. Do you know, Moses once prayed, that God would defeat the Amalekite army in Exodus 17. It's because of Moses' prayers, the prayers of an old man, that the army of the enemy was defeated. Don't give up your praying. It was because of the prayers of Moses that God didn't destroy Israel at the golden calf incident. Don't give up your praying. God uses people who depend on him in prayer. Right, well, I've nearly finished. And I want to issue a challenge at the end. And this is the challenge. Will you stand out as different? You see, the reason why God redeemed the Israelites, there were three reasons. Partly it was because he promised Abraham he wanted to have a land and a people. But part of the reason was he wanted to be a blessing to the whole world. And how can God do that except that the people be different? And God calls us to live as redeemed people. We're to be different, to stand out like that penguin in that funny photograph, which Karina apparently says she really likes. We are called to be a light to the nations. And in the reading that Vanessa read in Exodus 19, it says that we are called to be a holy nation, a priest to all the nations. If the people of God live in God's way, then other people should notice and ask questions. We are to be living advertisements for the God we worship by the quality of life we live. And this was called upon for the Old Testament, and it's called upon for us as Christians. Now, of course, we fail sometimes. That's why we need Jesus. We can't do it ourselves. But, you know, we don't have to be like the world. We should stand out. Old sins and old habits, the old power of Pharaoh, should not dominate our lives, because we have been set free at the exodus of the cross. But I want to finish by looking at one particular aspect of living as a redeemed people. You see, we can live redeemed from sin, but here's a big one that Christians can really suffer with, and it's to do with fear. As God's redeemed people, we have also been redeemed from fear and anxiety. And fear can really trouble Christian believers. And I've been challenged by this in our growth group this week. In our growth group, Tony said something, and it spoke to me really powerfully. Tony said, we are to live as redeemed people. And Tony said, and that includes being redeemed from fear and anxiety. So I want to issue that challenge. If any of you are suffering from fear and anxiety, then we want to pray with you. You can see at the bottom of this screen that there's a prayer line we've set up. It's actually my phone number. But if you would like prayer, text that number or message me, and we will arrange either over the phone or on a Zoom call to pray with you. Now, we're going to sing a final song in a moment called Never Let Go. And it's about God looking after us and how we don't need to fear. There are certain lines in that song which are wonderful. They say things like this. There will be an end to these troubles. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom shall I fear? He won't let you go in every low. So we're going to sing this. If you want prayer about anxiety or fear, please contact me, and I'll set that up. And also, just before we close now, remember that after the service, we have our coffee chat room, if you'd like to just catch up for a few minutes and wave at each other. So let me now pray, and then we'll sing. Lord, we thank you for the story of the Exodus, how you are a strong Redeemer God, how you are a God of grace, how you can use old people as well as young people, how you are able to set us free and liberate us from all the power of the evil one, from our sins and from our fears. Help us, Lord, Christ Church Yule, to live as a redeemed people. Help us to live as a redeemed people for your glory, as a light to the nations. And Lord, if we're gripped by fear, help us get rid of that at the foot of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.